This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, text number 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Navasta Nripater Nishnam Bhavan Orodam Arati Nagrihito Mayat Mayo Grihito Mayna Grihito Maya Yatvam Kukshavapi Nripat Majaha. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Queen Surichi told Dhruva Maharaj, "My dear child, you do not deserve to sit on the throne or on the lap of the king. Surely, you are also the son of the king, but because you did not take your birth from my womb, you are not qualified to sit on your father's lap." Purport. Queen Suruchi very proudly informed Dhruva Maharaj that to be the king's son was not the qualification for sitting on the lap or throne of the king. Rather, this privilege was dependent on one's having taken birth from her womb. In other words, she indirectly informed Dhruva Maharaj that although he happened to be born of the king, he was considered an illegitimate son because of his birth from the womb of the other queen. Omagyant medandasya genangana shalakaya chaksurimilitam jenatasmai sigurave namaha Sri Chaitanya mano vishnam stapitam jenabhutale Swayam rupakadamayam dadantisva padantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Basadi Gaur Bhakti Vrindam Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna. So here again in Srila Prabhupada's purport, we have a warning about pride. We actually discussed this quite at length yesterday. But like many subject matters in Krishna consciousness, both the positive and the negative things, we have to analyze these things over and over and over. Remember yesterday we quoted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's warning about pride, nadanam najanam nashundurim, attraction to material wealth, infatuation with the opposite sex, and prestige, pratishta. These are obstacles that we have to be aware of. They can slow you down. Sometimes they can stop your progress altogether. Just like in track and field, you know that track and field sport, there's an obstacle course. You're running and you have to jump over this barrier, jump over this little body of water and then run around. It's an obstacle course. You have to get to the end, you have to overcome obstacles. It's not just a free path, straight. Some races are, but there's the obstacle course. So we will meet with obstacles on the path back to Braj. Srila Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati Thakur said, there are many thorns and brambles, which means like thorn trees, many thorns and brambles on the path back home to Vrindavan Dham. But fortunately, our acharyas, they point them out so we know what they are and we know how to deal with them when they come. Just like in motor racing, they have Formula One and different types of automobile races. The contestants, the participants, are allowed to drive the course a few times before the race, just so they get used to knowing what's ahead, when to slow down, when to speed up, when to take this turn. It's traditional. If there's a race, you get to vroom, vroom, vroom a couple of times, and then there's the final race, and you know what's ahead. So except for Nitya Siddhas, Siddha means perfected soul, and Nitya means eternal. Except for Nitya Siddhas who come to this world solely for the purpose of enlightening us in Krishna consciousness, they have no material desires. There's no obstacles on their path. anyone and everyone else, there's some obstacles, and we should be aware of that, but we don't have to be afraid. If we read Prabhupada's purports, because in his purports it's pregnant with that knowledge, what the obstacle is going to be and how you deal with it when you come. If you're prepared, there's no fear. Krishna says to Arjuna, armed with knowledge, O Arjuna, stand and fight. One time Prabhupada made a very strong statement. He said, unless my disciples read all my books, they'll fall down. Because within his purports is the knowledge how to extradite ourselves, how to get out of the jungle, the entanglement of material life. And if we follow those instructions, although it's a challenge, anyone can go back home, back to God. So sometimes it's made very simple for us because time is of essence. We don't have such a long time. So in the Gita, Krishna reveals some of the obstacles. He says that lust, anger, and greed are the gateways down to hell. And Lord Chaitanya, the most recent incarnation of Krishna, makes us more focused because he's very well aware of Kali Yuga. So he says, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim. In Kali Yuga, people are attracted to material opulence. They're infatuated. Men are infatuated by women. Women are infatuated by men. And perhaps worst of all, there's that desire for honor, the desire to be worshipped. And this is the most insidious one. It actually comes from envy of Krishna. Our cardinal sin in the spiritual world is we became envious. Why should he be the big fish? I want to be the big fish. This is the central theme to our Krishna conscious philosophy. Everyone knows it, but sometimes it's just good to remind ourselves. We're not the master. We're the servant. God is very great, and we are very small. And being very small, we're subservient to the Supreme. But we shouldn't hesitate in that relationship, because it's very sweet. The disease of the conditioned soul is there in a phrase we have in France, ni maître ni dieu, ni maître ni dieu, no master, no God. No master, no God. No, we want a glorious master, and we want a very benevolent, merciful, loving God. And we have that in Krishna consciousness. We have Prabhupada and we have Krishna. We don't mind being servants. We love being servants because it's natural. So this part in this Bhagavatam, this part in this chapter, these verses, there's three or four verses about pride. Suruchi, the principal queen in the palace, considering herself better than the other queens, she tells, you know, Dhruva that he's not fit to sit on her husband's lap. And what is her twisted logic? You are not born of my womb, but you were born in the womb of another woman, and I'm better. Therefore, you can't sit on my husband. This pride sticks out like a sore thumb. There's that saying we have in English, I don't know. Sticks out like a sore thumb. You've got a sore thumb, everybody notices, because your hand's always being used in so many ways. If it's a sore thumb, you know, everyone, oh, he's got a sore thumb. This pride sticks out like a sore thumb. Everyone notices when you're proud. You can fool some of the people some of the time, and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Abraham Lincoln. It's not only in spiritual circles, in ISKCON and other Gaudiya movements, that we speak against pride and arrogance. Even in material society, they speak about against it. It's not a very attractive quality. In material society, there's that statement, pride cometh before a fall. There's also a saying amongst the people of mundane society, take care once you reach the top, because there's only one way left to go, and that's down. Be careful once you get to the top. There's only one direction to go, down. So uaga, be careful. We need people at the top. We need leadership. We need guidance. We need example. We need, not. It's not saying don't go to the top. We need top. The Bhagavatam says, don't become a demigod, don't become a teacher, don't become a father, a parent, a king, unless you can deliver your dependence from the repetition of birth and death. And if you can do that, please become a demigod. Please become the Raj Rishi. have children. Take the responsibility of being a spiritual master, because we need leadership. We need people to lead us from darkness to light, from ignorance to truth, from the spiritual world to Vaikuntha, to Goloka. But really the most important quality in leadership is humility. The people aren't here to serve me. I'm here to serve the people. Like Chanaka Pandit, he was the advisor to one famous king in India, and the king lived in great opulence, and although he got all his ideas and his strategy and his inspiration from Chanaka Pandit, Chanaka Pandit lived in a grass hut. He wouldn't live in the palace. He lived in a grass hut. He was a political leader. One of the greatest political leaders of all time is Niti Shastras, still read by leadership in India, but he lived in a grass hut. He was very humble. He was there to not for people to serve him, but he was there to serve the people, meaning that he wanted to guide them in material prosperity, ultimately in spiritual prosperity. So to put things in proper perspective, there's a definition of pride in the dictionary. What are we talking? What is pride? Well, let's go to the dictionary. Educated people, they have references that they depend on. So what is the definition of pride? The Oxford Dictionary, in English is popular, says pride is a feeling or deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. Or in other words, I, me, and mine. Of course, sometimes pride is there also. The cowherd boys are proud that Krishna is their best friend. That's okay. That if pride accelerates our attachment and love for Krishna, there's nothing wrong with it. But generally, this in the material world, this is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Pride means that all the credit goes to me. In Vrindavan, when the cowherd boys are proud of Krishna, when he kills a demon, then all the way back home that afternoon, and even when they're taking supper with their parents, the cowherd boys are just talking, Mom and Dad, you should have seen my friend killed in Akasura, and Balaram and Krishna killed in Akasura. That kind of pride is okay. Pride is okay. Or you ask a disciple, who is your spiritual master? My spiritual master is Niranjan Swami. My spiritual master is Radhana Swami. My spiritual master is Bhakti Bringa Govinda Swami Ma. You say it with pride, but that pride is not for you. That pride is for your ever well-wisher. But mundane pride and arrogance, it's all I, me, or mine. And even in material society, it's not appreciated. They'll say, oh, this person's arrogant. This person's puffed up. That person's selfish. Of course, puffed up, that's an ISKCON terminology. Like Prabhupada coined certain phrases, you know, back home, back to Godhead, and like that. So puffed up, I don't think in university lectures or in whatever, this word puffed up, like the frog, Prabhupada said, my well is, but we understand that it means I, me, and mine. So much so that in the immortal wisdom of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also talks about pride. Dambo dharpo minas cha krodha paru shayam eva cha anjanam chabi jatasya parta sampadam asurim. Asurim, you know, asura, asurim. He says, pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance, these qualities belong to those of demoniac nature, O son of Pritha. So, pride's not good in material society. Krishna's saying it's a demoniac quality. But it's particularly bad for devotees. It's unbecoming for a devotee who has sattva-sattva bhushana, tatikshava krunika shuridam sarvadehinam achata shuttava shanta sattva-sattva bhushana. The nature of a devotee, sattva-sattva bhushana, he or her has so many attractive, beautiful spiritual qualities. So to have pride is like a blemish. Just like for a girl with a pretty face, right? Everything's there, the beautiful face, the makeup, the lips. But if she gets one dark blemish here, she hides that. She covers it with makeup or she hides. Or if you're missing a tooth, I was missing a tooth for a while. I got it fixed. I smiled like this. People, oh, Maharaj, what happened to your teeth? I'd give a lecture and that. How was the class? What happened to your tooth? What? So pride's like that. It's a blemish on the soul. Therefore, it's very serious. Pride comes between us and God, just like the clouds today. Who likes those clouds? Maybe the farmers. But the tourists and the Festival of India, we don't like those clouds. They come between us and the sun. We're chanting Hare Krishna on the bus on the way to Sankirtan, but there's another mantra we're chanting. Rain, rain, go away, come again another day. 108 times. Rain, rain. So in the same way, we want to banish pride from our heart because it comes between us and our eternal divine lover, Krishna. We want to hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Time is of essence. We don't know when we're going to leave this body. Lolium means we should have this greed for becoming Krishna conscious as quickly as possible. We have to beg for it. Because we don't have it, we have to beg for it. We are beggars. And because we don't know exactly how to pray, we're students, all of us. We're students. We're aspiring devotees. We learn how to beg for that banishing of pride by studying and repeating the prayers of great devotees like Raghunath Das Goswami. One poem or one writing which is very dear to the heart of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas is the Manashiksha by Raghunath Das Goswami. So he talks about pride in his Manashiksha. Pratishtasya drishta svapacha ramani me hridi natet. O mind, how can pure divine love appear in my heart as long as the shameless, dog-eating, outcast woman of the desire for prestige and honor are dancing there. Therefore, always remember and serve the immeasurably powerful commanders of the army of Sri Krishna, the beloved devotees of the Lord. They will at once banish this outcast woman of pride and initiate the flow of immaculate braj prema within your heart. We beg for mercy. What are we capable of? Not much, just barely maintaining our bodies and getting our rounds in and doing some seva. But so this business of cleansing the heart, we have to ask Krishna to do that because he's in the heart, he knows our heart, and he's all-powerful. He alone can cleanse our heart of lust, anger, and greed, or attraction to material objects, infatuation with the opposite sex, and the desire for pratishtha. So please, Krishna, you do that. I'm incapable of doing it. Please help me, Krishna. Krishna pamagi. Material society, people, you know, have this problem with pride, and they recognize that they sometimes go to psychiatrists or life coaches or mentors and help me with my pride. So those psychiatrists and life coaches, they give some practical advice. We can also take that advice. They'll often say, well, share the credit. Don't take all the credit for yourself. Do you have a good wife? Yes. She's supporting you? Well, give her some credit too. Is your son in the business? Yes, we'll give like that. Just share the credit, they'll say. Or they'll say, to diminish your pride, admit your mistake. Or they'll say, diminish your pride, be courteous to others. That's good, but we call that blowing on the boil. A little relief, but you have to take the boil out. So we have to find out what is the root cause of pride. Of course, we mentioned it's envy, but how does that envy manifest in this world? In other words, what are we proud of? I'm a proud person. What are you proud of? It's pretty hard to be proud if you live alone. So what are we showing off to all the people? What are we proud about? Perfect questions, perfect answers. Our philosophy is so wonderful, it's so deep, it's so profound that it explains everything material and everything spiritual. All questions are answered. And that question, what are we proud of, it's right there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It comes from the lotus lips of Queen Kunti. Janmashwara Shruta Shribir Edimana Pada Pumam Navihat Abhitat Tum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gochuram. My Lord, your lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Very often one becomes proud when they're surrounded by great material opulence. And that's why those of you who are Sankirtan devotees, you know, the hardest thing is to approach people who are very well off. You know, no, not interested. Why don't I need God? Look at me. But very often it's easier to distribute books, or you get bigger donations from poor people. That's my experience. Isn't it, Chandrasekharacharya? Sankirtan, we approach poorer people, people less fortunate. They're more inclined to give donations than the big rich people. Because we're puffed up by false pride, by owning all these things. It's a false security. We become puffed up. Material opulence can be a source of pride. Like Queen Suruchi, she's a queen. She's a good birth. She has lots of riches, obviously a high education, bodily beauty. But they trapped her, and she became proud. And she, you could say, cursed Dhruva Maharaj, a great devotee. So then a devotee may naturally conclude, I'm going to give away everything then. I'm not going to have any opulence around me because it's a trap. But then how will we spread the movement? You need men, money, capital. You know, we live in opulence, really. So if we do that, how are we going to spread the Sankirtan movement? So Prabhupada said a knife in the hands of a criminal is very dangerous. But the same knife in the hand of a surgeon, very valuable. Better to dovetail, which is another word in Krishna consciousness. We used to better use those things for Krishna's service. Don't be attached to them. Use them to serve your beloved Lord. Then you're not entangled. Then you don't have to renounce. Yukta vairagya. You can engage everything in Krishna's service. Prabhupada said, human life doesn't mean we have to live in miserable conditions like cats and dogs. We can have a nice standard, even if your karma is such, you have great opulence, but just use it to serve Krishna. There's a saying, the servant is entitled to live in the palace of the king as long as he remembers he's not the king. But perhaps more dangerous than being attached to our material possessions is being attached to our position. Like in India, they have that phrase, isn't it, Govindacharan? The in charge. They have these funny sayings like, we were talking the other day when, many years ago in India, they used to, when you talk about with your camera to shoot a picture, they call it, can you take a click of me? Did you take any clicks of the program? Click. Anyway. They have that saying to the in-charge. You meet a devotee, I'm the in-charge of the godown where we keep all the books. Or I'm the in-charge of the Sankirtan. I'm the in-charge of, I'm the temple president. You know, it's like that, in-charge. We all want to be in-charge because if you're in-charge, people are listening to you and working for you and serving you, that's fine, but you have to be qualified for leadership, and to become a good leader, you first have to be a good servant. That's the secret. To be a good leader, you have to be a good servant. Being a good servant means you'll be a good leader because your interest will be in the people that you're serving. Pratishtha means name and fame. So, yeah, just like you're washing the pots, right? And, you know, they cooked some tea or something, you know, so it's easy to clean the pot. But if they were boiling milk and they burned the milk, any pot washer has the experience, you know, that somebody fell asleep in the milk. It's really hard to clean that charred milk on the bottom of the pot. That's pride. Other things we can, you know, Hare Krishna, Chaitanya, pride. It's like charred milk on the aluminum pot. What to do? What to do? Well, the good thing, the good news. What's the good news? The good news is that we're never alone in Krishna consciousness. Unlike the yogis and the jnanis, with all due respect, I love to associate with them because I gain something that I can use in my Krishna consciousness. So, the yogis, vachavegam, manasakrodavegam, jivavegam, upashtavegam, they sit with perfectly controlled mind and senses. Good. The yogis and the jnanis, they're studying the shastras and there's so much knowledge relevant to Krishna. But they're alone. They're alone. But in Krishna consciousness, we have Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas. We're not alone. So there's that song. I get by with a little help from my friends, the Beatles. It's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. I get by with a little help from my friends. And who's our best friend? Who's our ever-wisher? Krishna. And Prabhupada. We know Prabhupada's our friend because he signed all his letters, your ever-well-wisher. That's an eternal blessing. Your ever-well-wisher. Ever is a way of meaning forever and ever, he's our eternal, his blessing is. But Krishna's also our well-wisher. He's also our best friend. How do we know? Because the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know. Because the Bible tells me so. So what's our Bible? You could say Bhagavad Gita. It's our introductory door into the Krishna consciousness, and we proceed to the Srimad Bhagavatam and onwards to Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was the favorite book of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So where does Krishna say he's our friend? Bhoktaram yagnatapasyam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Shuridam sarvabhutanam jantman mam santim richati. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material existence. So we can ask Krishna. He's all-powerful. Ajita, he's unconquerable. You're already there in my heart. Please, I want to be your pure servant. I want to act in such a way that gives pleasure to you, not to me out of pride. Please, Krishna, destroy that pride that's there in my heart. Only you can do it. And he does. We hear that saying, the Lord is sometimes strong like a thunderbolt and soft like a rose. In dealing with his devotees, sometimes he uses the thunderbolt. Sometimes he touches us on the head with the rose. He knows what's best for us, so we have to be surrendered. If he uses the thunderbolt, spasiba. If he uses the rose, spasiba, spasiba, spasiba. Either way, his purification. With the help of one of my good friends, Hari Parshad Prabhu, I found a beautiful verse which talks about the thunderbolt and the rose. I didn't know. I saw the phrase, but where's the Sanskrit? Is there a shloka about the thunderbolt and the rose? The thunderbolt and the rose. And we found it in the Uttara Rama Charitam of Bhavabhuti. Bhavabhuti was a well-known Vaishnava who wrote poetry a couple centuries. He was writing how both the Lord and his representatives, the spiritual masters, they used the thunderbolt. And they Brajrad api katorani miduni hushimad api loko taranam chetamsi kohi vignatum arati. Harder than a thunderbolt, softer than a flower, who in the world could understand the hearts of transcendental souls? The wind is the Lord used the thunderbolt. We talked about Romaharshan Sutta. He had pride. He took a representative of the thunderbolt, a little twig, killed him with the twig. He was very heavy with Romaharshan. How did the Lord deal with Maharaj Yudhishthira? It's there in the Bhagavatam. My first mercy, Yudhishthira, upon my devotee, is that I take everything away from him so he has no other shelter than me. That's a thunderbolt. Or Ram with Hanuman. Hanuman was throwing these big boulders into the ocean to build the bridge to Lanka, and a little spider was there. Hanuman, what are you doing? I'm throwing boulders, you're just kicking sand in. Ram heard that. And with a thunderbolt of words, Ram destroyed the pride in Hanuman. Hey, Hanuman, he's my devotee. You know, he's doing as best he can. His service is equal to yours. He's a tiny spider. You're a big varana. I accept both services equally. Oh, I'm so sorry, Ram. Thunderbolt. Sometimes words hurt more than a sword. Just like someone may, you know, stab you and you get the stitches, you know. But sometimes someone can say to you, you look as ugly as a frog. you remember that 20, 30 years later. You can't give up sometimes words. So in defense we say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But it's not true. Words do hurt us. And the words of the Lord are the most powerful. Hanuman, be humble.
Yes.
Even Krishna was a little heavy on the gopis. He's most beloved. He detected a little pride. Of course, it's a pastime. We shouldn't think the gopis have any tinge of material quality. But well, I'll read from the Krishna book. Krishna book, page 253. Prabhupada says, sometimes when a devotee displays pride, Krishna personally crushes it, as in the beginning of the rasa dance. The gopis soon began to feel very proud, thinking themselves to be the most fortunate women in the universe by being favored by the company of Krishna. Lord Krishna, who was known as Keshava, could immediately understand their pride caused by their fortune of enjoying him personally. In order to show them his causeless mercy and to curb their false pride, he immediately disappeared from the scene, exhibiting his opulence of renunciation. Sometimes Krishna also uses the rose. How does he curb a devotee's pride with the rose? Not with a thunderbolt, but with a smile. In the Gopi Gita, in the Bhagavatam, chapter 31, there's a beautiful verse which shows how Krishna can curb his devotee's pride just by smiling. And you think, oh, you're so beautiful. I surrender to you. I have no pride. I am yours. Oh, you who destroy the suffering of Braj's people, O hero of all women, your smile shatters the false pride of your devotees. Please, dear friend, accept us as your maidservants and show us your beautiful lotus face. That's the rose. Prabhupada was like that too. He was hard like a thunderbolt and soft like a rose. When some devotee made a grievous mistake, Prabhupada could get very angry. When he was angry, his upper lip would quiver like that. One time a disciple had the audacity to come to Prabhupada. I won't mention his name. He's no longer with us. He went to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, I'd like your blessings to take another spiritual master who's more advanced than you. This is 1971 in India. I need your blessings. I want to take another guru, some Babaji. Prabhupada's lips started to quiver. He said, yes, I bless you to go to hell. Actually, Prabhupada said one time that he never rejected any of his disciples. He was so kind, so tolerant of us. But some foolish disciples rejected him. So Prabhupada predicted, you could say, that by guru avagya, by making offense to one's guru, where does one go? I remember when Prabhupada would chastise somebody, 2 seconds later he was calm and very loving. And Prabhupada could be like a rose also. When Prabhupada went to India for the first time after preaching in the West, it was 1971, and he took some devotees with him. But when he got to India and saw the potential with his white elephants, dancing white elephants, how that could revitalize Gaudiya culture in India, he asked for more devotees to come from the West. So one new bhakta was in the group. He was very innocent, boyish, small devotee, you know, in his late teens. He wasn't initiated. But Prabhupada initiated him in a very interesting way. He gave the rose to that disciple. It was during Kartik, and Prabhupada was taking the devotees in Parikrama around the Krishna, around a temple. I don't know which temple, but around a temple. Prabhupada said one time, when you circumambulate the temple, it's like seeing all the holy places. So naturally, all the big sannyasis, you know, they're up front with Prabhupada. And this boy is very shy, and he was at the back of the morning walk. And Prabhupada was talking, as he often did on morning walks, and talking something, and at one point he spoke up. And so Krishna likes sweets, Prabhupada said. And so Krishna likes sweets, sannyasis. And the boy in the back, the innocent boy, the young boy, he spoke up. Srila Prabhupada, I like sweets too. So everyone stopped and turned around and looked at this boy. You could almost see the arrows coming from the eyes of the sannyasis. So Prabhupada said, what is this? And the boy said shyly, Prabhupada, I like sweets too. So Prabhupada said, therefore, your name is Dadi Bhaksha, Das, the servant of Krishna, the yogurt eater. And that was it. That was Dadi Bhaksha's initiation. He said, I have initiated that boy. What? I gave him initiation. Dadi Bhaksha, servant of Krishna who loves he's the yogurt eater. That was the initiation. What's that verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas? Durlabe sadguru namcha sakrit sangu pastite tadanutsa yada labda sadiksha varsho mahan. If by chance of good fortune one gets a guru, it doesn't matter whether one is in a temple or the forest. If the spiritual master agrees, one should take initiation immediately without waiting for a suitable time and place. So Krishna and Prabhupada and our spiritual masters, they have their way, the ways in dealing with devotees. They'll encourage us when we're doing well, and they will do the necessary when we display, you know, improper conduct or we maintain material desire. It doesn't mean that we necessarily have to have the personal association of the spiritual master in order to be corrected. Our main connection with our guru is through Shabda Brahma, through transcendental sound, through his lectures and through his instruction, and by his example, to follow his example. And so if we're listening to the recorded lectures of Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master, we'll always find something in the class that disciple thinks, oh, did he say that for me? Very often that happens after class. Were you talking about me, Guru? No, these are universal truths about the material world and the spiritual world. So when we hear our spiritual master speak, we can become inspired by that, and we can be corrected by that if we're sincere. The thunderbolt or the rose, it's all mercy. Our spiritual authorities know what is best for us. They know our heart. Bradradapi katorani miduni kushumarapi lokatarnam chaitamshi kohi vikitam arati. Harder than a thunderbolt, softer than a flower, who in the world can understand the hearts of transcendental souls? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Guru Parampara ki, Sri Brajabhumi Sri Vrindavan Dham ki, Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki, Sri Sri Lakshmini Singhadev Traveling Festival Program Giving Mercy to All the Fallen Conditioned Souls Forever ki. Jai Jai Sri Radhe Shyam. So we have to be a little bit quick because we have to set up the festival and go in Harinam and do the festival. I'm only 2 minutes late today, so let's get going. Hare Krishna.